Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. We're meeting with Nancy Weingartner, executive editor of Franchise Times Magazine, and Rick Obsett, franchise development manager for Mako. And Mako is America's Body Shop, with nearly 500 franchise locations across the continent, boasting system-wide sales that approach $500 million. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm doing fine this week, Marty. How about yourself?
Good, good. Beautiful weather here in Pennsylvania today. You know, it's starting to warm up a bit, you know, so kind of happy about that, kind of seeing traces of the spring, perhaps, you know, so we'll have
Not
to wait
me.
And see.
me about, what, about 20, 30 miles away? Not here, Marty.
No, it's not. Okay. Well, you know, it has been so cold,
yeah.
You know, that even like 40, you know, degree temperature seems like it's spring, you know. It's just, it was
right.
Wicked for several weeks, you know. So, yeah, but we've got an interesting show today, don't we? What do we got going on today, Don?
Well, yeah, Nancy Weingartner from Franchise Times, our friend's coming on to tell us what's coming up in the updating
mm-hmm.
issue and what she's been up to lately. And Rick Obzit from Mako, very well-known franchise nationwide, car painting franchise, and I guess, of course, a leader in their industry. So we're excited to have them on today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've used their service before, by the way, and just fantastic. I mean, you know, car comes out great, you know. So, yeah, have you used their service before, or?
I don't think so, but my office manager today just said she got her car painted, and I teased her that, well, we're having Mako on today. You could have gotten 60% off if you waited a few days.
That's right. Franchise Interviews listeners get a 60% discount, right?
<It's, Yep. laughs>
We'll get killed on that one. But, yeah, no, that's fantastic. I'm looking forward to that, having Rick call in today and Nancy.
Definitely.
So I know we have some interesting articles I wanted to get to, because I know Nancy was calling in probably in like about 10 minutes, so
okay.
I thought we'd get right to that first.
Yeah, good. Well, first, Marty, like what we always like to tell our listeners around the country, there's the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo is going to be in your neck of the woods coming up January 30th and 31st, Philadelphia, Valley Forge Convention Center.
That's
People
interesting. I haven't, I've never seen a show there before, you know, or advertised.
Right.
For the Philadelphia area, you know, so it's pretty close to us.
People want more information and time on it, can go to PhiladelphiaFranchiseExpo.com.
Yeah, no,
as well as see all of their other shows they have throughout the year. These are the smaller regional shows that we've been to, and you know, they're people looking for a business. There'll be a lot of opportunities there. Here's something from the BaltimoreSun.com. Yum Brands, Marty, gives $500,000 to provide food for victims in Haiti.
Wow, that's
this
great.
Is by the Associated Press out of Louisville. Yum Brands, operator of KFC, Taco Bell, and other major restaurant chains. We had them on a couple years ago. Directing $500,000 from its program, World Hunger Relief, to provide food for earthquake victims in Haiti. The World Hunger Relief Program, which distributes funds Yum has raised, as well as food and funds that the company donates, has been running since 2007. The situation in Haiti is devastating, and our sympathies go out to everyone impacted, says David Novak, CEO of the company. Customers who want to make donations to World Hunger Relief can go to fromhungertohope.com, as well as Yum Brands website. And also McDonald's, this is through also the Associated Press, McDonald's expected to donate at least $1 million to aid victims of the Haiti earthquake.
Wow,
which is
incredible, isn't it?
Devastating, yeah. So,
and it's amazing, you know. I mean, those two, you know, franchises that you just mentioned. I mean, those guys are on the top of like the franchise list. You know, I mean, I was looking at the Franchise Times top 200. You know, and look who's on the top: McDonald's and Yum Brands. You know, I mean, it's
right.
You know, there's a lot of benefit to doing good. You know,
McDonald's also, Marty says, the company. From Sunday until next Friday, any restaurants run by Arcos Dorados in 19 countries will donate 50 cents from the sale of each Big Mac sandwich.
Wow.
And Big Mac extra value meals to quake victims. I mean, that's huge.
That's great.
Well, it could be millions of, it could be, I don't know how many Big Macs are, you know. But,
sold each day, I know. Well, you know, it's you figure this, was it like 33,000 McDonald's restaurants on the planet, you know, and, It's just wonderful to see, you know, people helping out, you know, in any way they can, whether it's, you know, donating to the Red Cross or, you know,
right.
their church or whatever it may be. But I think everyone can really help out in this situation, you know, so absolutely.
I can't even watch the news. It's just, it gets
it's unbelievable.
Just,
it really is. It's just hard to imagine, you know, that something like this could happen. You
right.
know, the question is why, you know, it's just... You know, it's really devastating, you know, but it is good to see that, you know, people are helping out and coming together. And,
right.
You know, it's going to take a while to rebuild, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a shame.
Yeah.
There's something also, Marty, landlords to restaurant chains. Let's make a deal. The recession has turned the tables on landlords who are now offering restaurant chains attractive rents and more. We've discussed this throughout the year. I thought this was an interesting article by David Farkas from Chain Leader, dated January 15th. Had more landlords been willing to work with Chili's Grill and Bar in the 80s, the casual dining chain might have opened a lot more restaurants, but developers sometimes balked at Chili's loudly striped awnings, a crucial brand element. Can you imagine that? That's how things have changed. Landlords were, if they're picky about how a restaurant chain's colors or their awning or something they didn't like, they can easily balk on it. But let me go on here. We killed many deals if they wanted us to have their awning, recalls Clark Nippers, the then VP of Real Estate and Development for Chili's parent company, Brinker International. Until recently, landlords have had no problem asking for and often getting their awnings or whatever else they wanted at leasehold agreements. Competition for good sites was fierce among fast-growing restaurants and retailers, which typically acceded to landlords' demands. Not anymore. Supply and demand has flipped. Now it's a tenant's market, says Nippers, founder and president of Dallas-based Formark, consultantly specializing in restaurant real estate. Blame the poor economy, which is tanking businesses and freeing up loads of commercial space at attractive prices. Spring recount data from Market Research and MPD Group show the U.S. total restaurant count slipped 0.6% in 2008. Experts believe that percentage is sure to climb when new data are out later this month. I definitely think there is a reason to believe so, given persistently weak industry sales trends. Excess capacity means lower rents. Already down 10% on average nationally, according to Jones Lang LaSalle. They will tumble another 5-7% this year, especially in secondary markets, notes a report from the Chicago-based real estate services firm. Rent declines in the most construction-heavy markets like Atlanta, Charlotte, and Miami will approach double digits in the first half of 2010. The firm doesn't expect rents to begin rising until 2011. It goes on here. Let me see. A fall survey of property owners by National Real Estate Investor, a trade publication, showed that 52% expected effective rents to decrease the next 12 months compared to 38% who projected declines 3 months earlier. The upside for restaurant chains, especially growth-oriented chains, is deals galore. Lease terms, including mid-lease, have changed dramatically over the last 12 months.
Wow. You said something. I forgot to tell you this. You said something brilliant last week. I thought you called 2010. I don't know if you remember this, the year of the franchipreneur, meaning that there's some killer deals being offered with leases right now. We've seen that, you know, and we've referenced it a lot on segment one of our show. You know, either getting like 6 months free or whatever it may be. Right. And there's a lot of franchisors also out there, Don, giving some killer deals as well, aren't they? Like they're, you know, dropping the franchise fee and things like that. I mean. It's some offers that we're just probably never going to see again, you know, coming in a great location.
Yeah, we've talked about that as in rough times, there's going to be opportunities and deals.
Well, you called it the year of the franchipreneur. I don't know if you remember that. I was listening to last week's show, and I said, damn, I said, sometimes he really comes up with some clever comments, you know. That
it's rare, but yeah.
You know, so it's true. I mean, I think there's still some great deals out there. I see it, you know, in Easton, which is the closest city to us. I mean, there's some killer locations, like, you know, right by the water and just...
Right.
So who knows, you know, we're going to have to keep our eye on that. But I'm glad you, you know, brought that article to our attention because it is something that we've been talking about, you know, on the show from time to time. So.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think this is going to be a very interesting year.
Right.
I think the overall consensus, and I talk to people nationwide through my financing business, and you know, most people have a little more activity going on.
Right.
Their phones are ringing more. Mm-hmm. They're feeling more optimistic, and you know, the economy can't stay down forever. So you know,
it's true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, 2009 was just so tough. You know, so it sounds like you want to go on record as calling 2010 the year of the franchipreneur.
Yes, I do. Put that
you
on
do.
The website. It says here, buddy, Larry Feldman, CEO of Subway Development Corp., says, we are getting real estate deals we've never gotten before.
There you go.
They have over 1,000 sandwich shops, obviously. Landlords are splitting space and cutting rents.
Mm-hmm.
Something interesting
yes.
here. It says, perhaps the most remarked upon change in lease structures has been landlords' willingness to grant rent relief mid-lease, a practice all but unheard of until recently. I've never seen anything like this, as Madison Job, VP of Development for Dallas-based Pizza Inn, referring to rent restructuring. I've never experienced anything like that we're going through now, nor have any colleagues I've spoken to. So landlords are willing to also restructure a lease once it's signed, a contract, an agreement.
Wow.
And, you know, and we've had it, attorneys on the phone, franchise attorneys, talking about the negotiating of, of lease space. So I'm sure they're having a great time right now with all these opportunities.
Oh, absolutely. The complexities, too, of also, you know, sometimes is a lease space, is it appropriate for your type of franchise as well, though? You know, I mean, there's a lot of variables that go into the whole thing. It's funny, whatever you said lit up the whole switchboard. I mean, I've never seen our switchboard so full. If a bunch of people just called in.
Why don't you just get off the air, Marty? I'll finish the show.
There you go. But as good as I see Nancy called in, if you're a frequent listener to our radio show, then you know what fans Don and I are, Franchise Times Magazine. And today we have the pleasure of speaking again with Nancy Weingartner. Hey, Nancy, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Oh, that's terrific, Nancy. And Nancy, you know, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. And Don,
hey, Nancy.
Say hi.
Hi,
Happy
Don.
New Year. How's it going?
Happy New Year to you also.
Thank you.
I like your Franchipreneur. You need to send me the spelling of that, though.
Yeah, I know. It's Don, every so often, Nancy, comes up with a brilliant quote, you know, and I just, and he rubs it in a lot, too.
Yeah.
You know, every so often he'll get quoted in a journal like yours or, you know, whatever it may be, you know, so it's something, and I can't let him stop. Don and I love the article in your last edition of Franchise Times about your trip to Africa, Nancy, with Dunn Brothers. It really sounds like, you know, reading the article that the trip really did change your life. Would you say so?
I think it did. I hope it did. So
yeah.
I did a little continuation in my column for
the
February issue, so you'll have to see if you think it did change.
Oh, absolutely.
February issue.
An appreciation for life, too. You know, I was moved by the article because, you know, you were talking about, you know, your dog, you know, and our family just put down our dog this week, you know, so you really have that appreciation for life when you see those things, you know what I mean?
It's,
and you come back here to the States, because I think we forget, and I remember, you know, and I've said this to a dozen people so far, and we had you on our show last time, how you said how people were just so happy there, you know, in that country. You know, and we don't always have that here in the United States. So
you had in here, Nancy, you say you ended the safari with a gourmet breakfast on the river while you were looking at hippos. I mean, do you lose your appetite as you're...
No, they make you feel really small, so you feel like you can eat a lot.
That's true. I didn't think about that. It was interesting in the article, Nancy, Dunn Brothers, I mean, they really sound like a fascinating company. It mentioned in the article that... I guess because they're smaller, they can roast their coffee on site because I think they're still under 100 units, so they could buy in smaller batches. And I think what they're thinking of, too, is I guess when they bring on new franchisees to possibly bring them on a trip just like you went on as well. Is that true?
Yeah.
Or,
I think that's what Chris Eilers is thinking about, which I think is brilliant because when you get over there, you have so much more of appreciation.
Yeah.
And it is more than just drinking a cup of coffee. I mean, it's such an important economy for them. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I hope they are able to do that.
And you're
like
big,
how you ended the article talking about, Nancy, just in general, money isn't everything, you know. You know, they live in poverty, but I guess there's good spirits, close families, you know, it's interesting culture.
A real sense of community, and I think it's kind of interesting because we're seeing that in Haiti now where they're, you know, bad times, you get together and you help out and... You know, I kind of think about in my neighborhood, we all just kind of drive into our garages and close the doors, and that's
right.
it.
Yeah,
so,
same here. It's true.
I think we all need to appreciate the finer things in life, which is community and friends and family.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, it's
so
true. Don was reading on segment one, Nancy, you know, companies like, you know, McDonald's and Yum Brands, you know, all that they're, you know, contributing to Haiti, you know, it really is, you know, amazing. How everyone's coming together to help out in this just terrible situation.
Yeah. Well, and you see young entrepreneurs who are, you know, doing like lemonade stands and things like that to raise money for Haiti. And you think,
yeah,
it does kind of make you think there's a future and that the economy is going to bounce back if we we have young children wanting to contribute to things like that.
Absolutely.
So what are new exciting things, Nancy, with Franchise Times starting out the year? What are we going to be looking at coming up soon?
Well, in the February issue, we have a lot of really kind of fun things. We're looking at Ken Walker, who's the incoming chair at IFA. And the cover story is on a family that has a really pretty phenomenal. They're like the 14th largest restaurant franchisee in the country. and he's got a lot of Applebee's. It's the Doherty family.
Wow.
And Ed Doherty just has this wonderful philosophy about being really loyal to his employees and wowing the customers.
Right.
And brought in his son and daughter. But what I thought was kind of fun is that he made them work. He didn't make them. He required that they work outside the company before they came and interviewed with him. And I think that's really nice because none of them wanted to be the boss's kid. They wanted to stand up on their own. And it's really family business is something I think we're going to look at a lot in 2010, just kind of seeing how families work together and all the different problems and benefits from that. And so
that's interesting because that's the core of America. That's how we get out of the economy. That's how small business continues to grow. The small business operator, whether they have one business, one unit, or in this case, they're pretty large franchisees. But and that makes sense as we go into this new year and you're trying to feel optimistic. It's nice to see a nice success story, a nice family business article. And by the way, the last time my family went to Applebee's, we love the restaurant. We're big fans. The last time we went, my wife had emergency gallbladder operation a few hours later. But that's nothing negative to Applebee's.
I definitely won't be putting that out in the press release.
No, don't put that in the article.
No, it is fascinating. I saw you guys too, Nancy. You just came out with it, and I love it. I always look forward, the top 200. I guess that recently came out, the Franchise Times top 200. Or, I guess you guys have, was it McDonald's?
Oh, the 20 to watch?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the 20 to watch. We're going with top 200, which is interesting. You were mentioning that last time as well. Who did you decide who you guys were going to put in that or the 20 to watch?
Yeah, it should be in that January issue.
It should be in the January issue. Okay, I must have missed that one then.
Yeah.
I was looking for
yeah,
that,
so but. We, that's sad. I would have to run across my office to get the
Okay. We can talk about that on the next show too, because there's some interesting concepts that are out there today, that are just fascinating. I know when you go to the franchise shows or, Don and I go to the franchise shows, it's really incredible, some of the concepts that you see out there. You say, this is really amazing, so.
On the 20 to watch it, it's also just mentioning interesting people, just not companies. Like Papa Murphy's I see was in there, Max and Irma's.
Right.
Article about David Gorenkin, who I guess was a feature article, during the year.
Right. He just left.
CEO of Ennigan's,
Mm-hmm.
And Burger King, and talking about financing and SBA loans, and Dun Brothers, and of course we know Daryl Johnson at Fran Data. Yeah,
right.
It was a great article.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just fascinated with Dun Brothers too. I wasn't very familiar with them, Nancy, before your articles and your trip and things like that. I heard of them, but now that I've read about them and I've studied them, they do seem like a fascinating company. And it was funny because you weren't a big coffee drinker, were you? Are you a big diet Dr. Pepper drinker, if I recall?
Exactly.
So are you drinking more coffee now, or now that
I am. I still haven't switched over altogether, but I am drinking more. I still have to put a lot of milk and a lot of sugar in it. So.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, geez. Yes, we have about 30 seconds. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on Franchise Times Magazine? Is there like a website they can go to or a number they can call?
Can.
Okay.
They can go to www.franchisetimes.com. They can email me at nancyw@franchisetimes.com. And we always love story leads, and we, particularly now with family businesses, we'd love to hear who's doing some really wonderful, innovative things, bringing their families into their business, maybe leaving them to the second generation or third generation.
Yeah, we did an interesting story, Don. If you remember, Christine Speck of Cousin Subs, you probably heard of them, Nancy, but the daughter of, I guess, the founder of the company, it reminded me of the story you were telling. She kind of went off on her own. She started working at Cousins, and then she went to go pursue her own career, and I think now she's the CEO of the company. Isn't she, Don, or the president of Cousins, and she really loves it. I mean, you can just sense her passion when we had her on the show. And I think she visited every single franchisee as well. She took a tour and met with all of them, So it's just, the family business is just, I'm fascinated with that whole concept, it's very interesting.
And remember, anybody who goes Franchise Times, immediately go to the last page. Just flip right to the back and read that article, right, Nancy?
I think so.
I don't know anybody that would start at the front of the magazine.
Yeah,
don't tell Mary Jo, right? It's like...
That's right. On a to make sure she doesn't listen to this.
Absolutely. All right. Well, it was great talking to you, Nancy, and we're looking forward to having you guys back on next month to talk about what's
right.
going on at Franchise Times. You guys have a great magazine.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nancy. Have a great day.
We appreciate
Take care, Nancy.
It.
Thank you.
Take
She's
care.
Fantastic.
Bye.
Isn't she, Don?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
I love having her on the show, you know, and just
she writes
about
such interesting things. There'll always be a lot of stuff to talk to her about.
Oh, there really is. I mean, she just knows so much about franchise. You really could talk to her all day. We should have her on for like a 2-hour edition one day, just chat,
right.
you know, as far as
yeah.
what's going on, you know.
We'll probably be laughing too much, though.
I guess so. She has a sense of humor, too, you know, so it's fantastic. So again, I think what we'll do here, Don, is take a quick break, and I see Rick has called in. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Big now!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team
Big Mouth.
As a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Rick Obsett, who is the Franchise Development Manager for Maaco. And Maaco is America's Body Shop with nearly 500 franchise locations across the continent, boasting system-wide sales that approach $500 million. Hey, Rick, good morning. Welcome to the show. Let's see if I can bring Rick in. Hey, Rick, how are you? Rick, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. And I think you might even know Don.
Oh, I know Don real well. Don and I have been business partners, colleagues for 10 years now.
Wow.
We go way back.
Definitely. Rick,
I recognize that voice.
He does have a very distinct voice, doesn't he, Rick?
He does. As soon as I came out, I said, that's Don.
Yeah, there you go.
perfect for radio, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's who knew. Rick, we always like to start off asking our guests where you're calling from this morning.
I'm calling from Philadelphia. Our home base is in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm not that far from you, actually, up in Williams Township, Pennsylvania, which is about like 50 miles north of Philadelphia. So
That's
fantastic. So I know what the weather is there today. So
yeah,
that's great.
Nice.
Yeah. Rick, what were you doing before joining the Maaco team?
Well, I've been in franchising. That's where I met Don many years ago. I've been in franchising for 36 years.
Wow.
One of the old-timers, kind of go back to my early days. About 28 of them I was on the operational side. I guess I got my feet wet with 7-Eleven stores, Southland Corporation, for quite a few years.
Right, right.
And spent time operationally with Nutrisystem. That was a franchise organization back then at the time. And it did a couple brief stints as a CEO of a couple chains. One was a restaurant chain, and the other was a regional franchise operation for Great Clips, the haircutting people.
Wow,
so I was a regional franchisor for them. And most recently, I guess where I met Don was through the transmission side of the business before I was headhunted over to Maaco a few years ago. And
he had some good experience working with some big name companies.
Really do. And I really love the franchise development side of things. You know, I guess after 36 years, you kind of like being a little bit of your own boss and dealing with people. One of the things I've always enjoyed doing is helping people fulfill their dreams. And being 100% honest with them, letting them know here's the good points, here's the pitfalls, and making sure they know what they're getting into, because you gotta look at both sides of the coin when you're talking to people and make sure there's no surprises and no buyer's remorse at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, you do have to make sure it's the right person, the right type of person that will follow the system and all the stuff Marty and I have talked about on the show the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's very interesting because at Maaco, one of the things that we do stress is, obviously a person has to be financially qualified, but we really take a look at people carefully as they're investigating the business that they are following the system. Because, it's not – when you become an entrepreneur in a franchise organization, you still have a very distinct obligation to follow the process, and that's what makes franchises strong. And how they follow your development process is going to be an indication of what they may be like and when they become a franchisee.
Right. So, of course, Maaco, quite a history, well-known nationwide company, over 500 units. Maybe talk about, Rick, the history of the company and who started it and when they began franchising and everything.
Well, it was founded. We were founded 38 years ago. And, it's one of those absolute franchise entrepreneur. We were founded by Tony Martino. Now, if you know the name and a lot of people, he was the IFA Man of the Year, et cetera. But Tony originally founded AMCO, the Anthony A. Martino Company.
Right.
And after about 10 years or so, he sold that to his partner, and he went off and he founded Maaco, the Martino Anthony A. Company. Had that forever. It was always his flagship. He also founded during that period of time the Goddard Schools, another premier franchise.
Yeah.
So he was a true entrepreneur. Unfortunately, about 2 years ago, Tony passed away very suddenly, and it was kind of a shock to everybody. And his family sold the business. But I think the marriage that we have now with our new parent company, Driven Brands.
Right.
I was listening to Nancy in the last segment. She talked about Ken Walker. Well, Ken Walker is our CEO. He's the CEO of Driven Brands, which includes Maaco, Meineke, Econo-Lube, plus all our mobile brands. So we're now one of the world's biggest automotive aftermarket companies in the world. And I think one of the things that's very exciting for us is the fact that tremendous synergies with each other.
Right.
Meineke was on their side of it, and German Brands was very, very good in terms of the IT technology sides of things. Mako very good in terms of fleet management, system operation, et cetera. So we have provided just, I think, a terrific marriage, if you will. And now with Ken and his dedication to the IFA, it's just a home run.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Everything's just going to get better. Yeah, we would have loved to have had Tony on the show, him being such an icon, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, of course, a franchise Hall of Famer, starting up several successful. You know, wasn't he, Rick, the only person to have started up three successful franchise companies having at least 100 units? It was something like that. He set a record, I think.
Yeah, he really did. And it was interesting. I was just privileged to the fact that I was able to work with Tony for a number of years. And he was there every day. I mean, I saw him 15 times a day walking past my office.
Wow.
He was a wanderer. Yeah,
and I met him, Marty. I was at an appointment.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure it was at, this was at Mako. This was like about 5 years ago, six years ago at least. And meeting with a few people in development, and all of a sudden he comes in, and it was great. Got to talk to him a few minutes. He cracked a few jokes.
Yeah,
I think I made him laugh a little bit, and,
Tony was a real personality, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So for people listening, Rick, tell us about, you know, just the Mako franchise system. Just tell us about what the highlights are for people listening or considering investing in a Mako. What are the highlights?
Well, when you look at Mako and understand that we're one of those premier brands, huge brand name, been around for a very long period of time. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that makes us very, very successful is the fact that we have a very, very definitive system. Because one of the things that may be a little bit different from us versus maybe some other franchises is the fact that our key to success in our centers is production. I mean, we're an assembly line. We're a factory, if you will.
Right.
Cars come in, our vehicles come in, and they basically spend an hour at each station and move on to the next station for another hour, move on to the next station, move on to the next station. So it's the ability to understand that you've got to follow this process very simply to turn out products that are, you know, perfectly done.
Right.
And it's certainly our challenge is to make sure that our franchisees and their employees and whatnot, we work with them very diligently to make sure we can do that so that we can help them maximize production, which obviously maximize profitability. So a real key to it is the production model. That's how we started as a production painters. And during the 90s, if you remember, cars didn't fall apart anymore on the road where they rusted apart and you could see through the floorboards at the road. They started developing better clear coats, after coats, undercoats, et cetera, fiberglass. And all of a sudden they went from 5 or 6 years, they started lasting 9. We expect that to go over 10 years, that the average car will stay on the road 10 years.
Wow.
So we expect that to and continue to grow, which means after a while the cars need to be faded. One of the things I think is a real key to us, especially during these times, is we are a very recession-resistant business. And the reason to say that is, read the papers. Nobody's buying new cars right now. They're fixing. They're keeping their cars longer. And the automotive aftermarket is thriving right now, as we do all the time, because there's, over 240 million vehicles on the road right now. So what happens is the cars are lasting longer and longer. People are holding on to them. This is the fourth recession in a row where our average unit volume has actually grown. I mean,
amazing.
Not a lot of companies out there can claim that.
No.
So you take a big brand name, you couple it with a very recession-resistant business, you couple it with a very high-volume business. You know, our centers, which we disclose in the disclosure document, average $929,000 each. So it's a very high-volume business also. And consider, we're open 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. So we're pushing almost $1 million to the door in a very compressed amount of time. And when we look for what type of franchisees do we look for, our franchisee is a person who really fulfills three roles. One, the customer side of the business. You know, we advertise, people call on the phone, give them directions, they come in for a free estimate, and they produce the estimate. Normally either them or the employee does that function. So it's a question of getting the customers retained, obviously, as a job. The second part is the production, managing that production flow, making sure that production, because if one area slows, guess what happens to a production line?
Right.
It all slows.
Exactly.
And then, of course, the third one is the financial aspects, cost savings, et cetera. So we look for a franchisee with one or more of those attributes in their background. And it's very important to us because we want successful franchisees. We don't want people coming on board not knowing what our system is and what the capabilities, their capabilities are. We want to make sure there's a good marriage, a good fit, and they'll be very, very happy in this business. You know, the automobile's been around for 110 years. Doesn't appear to be going anywhere.
So it's interesting, Rick. So, I mean, their background, their previous lives, I mean, really could have been anything, right? I mean, I guess they could be accountants or lawyers, whatever it may be. I mean, as long as they fit those three criteria that you mentioned.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I just franchised this past week to a pilot.
Wow, that's interesting. Don, you would like that with your dad being a
Yeah, well, Rick, my dad was a pilot, and I guess, I
real entrepreneur, too. Yeah,
yeah, well, but pilots get tested, and it's not quite, the great industry it was years ago, I guess,
right.
Back in Potshead, Seniori. But, you know, my dad had a car wash, a motel. My family still has other investments. So I guess, you know, sometimes, or just people in general sometimes, especially the way, you know, the new economy, people just want to, you know, diversify and maybe own a couple different businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was going to ask you, are you seeing more people, business owners now, who maybe want a second or third business? You seeing more of that, Rick?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, it was interesting, too, with the, I mentioned about the pilot. His background also, as his hobby, he's a race car driver.
That's interesting.
So he kind of loves the environment, if you will.
Good match, yeah.
Yeah. Now, we're seeing a lot of people. Right now, during as you know, you both of you have been around franchising for a while. During tough economic times, we get busy in franchise development. There's a lot of people looking for jobs. There's a lot of people worried about their jobs. There's a lot of people out there with some 401k money, or they've developed a little nest egg, and they're saying, you know what, now's the time to diversify. Now's the time to get into a business and kind of start working for myself instead of always working for the man, so to speak.
Right.
And, we're busy. We've been busy for 2 years now as tougher economic times have hit. And, I'm talking to, 20, 30, 40 people a day.
Wow, great.
So it stays very busy.
That's interesting. It was good. Earlier in segment one, Rick, we were talking about the location factor. You know, so Don was reading an article saying that, you know, there's a lot of killer locations out there. Have you guys seen that, or and what kind of location do your franchisees look for? I mean, what kind of space?
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that we tell people right now, which is very, very, very true, is, as you know, prices are depressed on the real estate market. Now is a buyer's market, no question about it. You're looking at bargains out there on real estate properties that are just, you know, we haven't seen in decades.
Yeah.
And we're finding them readily, and we're finding the prices are extraordinarily good. Many of the markets, unfortunately, have suffered through the worst economic times. It's become a much easier market to deal in the real estate end of things. Now, when you look at our real estate, one of the things that we look at, too, with our franchisees is the fact that we encourage ownership of the property. Because what happens is I always tell people, make sure you understand what the system is and make sure you understand what the nexus strategy is out of a business. Because someday you're going to need to exit from the business.
Right.
So when you look at, we have a very, very high volume business, then you can have an asset growing for you. If not up front, we'll help you negotiate with we have a very full service real estate department, help you negotiate lease purchase options so that you can eventually own the real estate. And that becomes what we call your 21st century 401k.
Right.
Because as you get ready, you can either, you know, keep the business, back off, you know, having somebody start to operate it for you and still be the landlord. Or you can sell the business and still be the landlord. So real estate is a terrific investment. It may have its ups and downs, but in the long term, it's certainly not going anywhere. Now, with our real estate, we look for 7,000-8,000 average square feet property. We need parking for about 50 cars because we do stay very, very busy. And most towns are going to put our type of business into, light industrial, commercially zoned areas and whatnot. So it's not a business. We're not an impulse business. We're a destination business, which means people are going to call you on the phone. They're not going to pull in and, hey, will you replace my bumper for me? I've got a couple days on my hands, or fix the side of my car or whatever. We're a destination business. That's why we advertise heavily to drive lead calls to us so that we can fix their car. And people are in love with their cars. I mean, let's face it, it's your second biggest investment. You want to be proud of what you drive. You want to be proud you know, when you pull into your employee parking lot that, you know, people aren't looking at you like, whoa, what happened to you?
Yeah,
so
true.
They're getting them fixed. And, yeah, real estate is a very big part of our business. And it's a, because we really want you to have two income streams, you know, obviously from a cash flow business, but also from the real estate end of it.
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. That's interesting. Has technology played a role in Mako's business these days, Rick?
Yeah, you know, we have I think advanced ourselves with the technology. It's I think one of the things that's very interesting in our business is technology in terms of the cars themselves have gotten much, much more complicated. I don't know if you guys ever worked on your cars back years ago. I did. Of course, you know, it was easy. You'd put brakes on, you do this, you do that.
Right.
I haven't touched that stuff in years. You open the hood, it jumps out at you. It's like, oh my God, what is this thing? So, and it's become so complicated that part of the business, especially when it comes to the parts and things, you have to know what you're doing. And you have to be able to get the answers so that we can replace those parts and things. And in the old days, most of it, what we used to do was kind of, you know, straighten, fill, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Now a lot of it's parts replacements. You know, you get hit in those fiberglass or bumpers, it's a replacement. You crack the thing in half. You're not going to – you can fix some of it. You can fix, you know, a number of the smaller hits. But many times when you get hit, you know, in a crash that's over 10 miles an hour, it's a part replacement. The other thing is all of the materials that we're using, and we are absolutely concentrating in Mako on what we call late model seamless repair. Our term for it that we've registered is called Cosmolision Service, and that is where you get hit, a drivable hit, and we have to repair it. Well, it has to be an absolute perfect late model seamless repair that you can't tell was ever repaired. And the materials that we use are very, you know, the latest and greatest materials for fixing those things, you know, in terms of plastics and epoxies and things of that nature, to be able to bond the two elements together. So technology does play a part in that, and then keeping our people up to speed. You know, a lot of the actual workmanship of it is still the same old craftsmanship that's been there for, you know, 100 years.
Right.
It's the materials that have really been up to date. And for our franchisees, of course, through Driven Brands, you know, we have Mako University now available to our franchisees, where we have webinars on all the different trainings and employee trainings and things. And it's been one of the great advancements through Driven Brands that's really helped our franchisees in terms of having literally a university at your fingertips
for new people
and for management.
So, so maybe talk about that, Rick, a little bit, the training for new franchisee. I imagine you have, you know, just unbelievable training process.
Yeah, it really is, Don. It's one of the things I stress very heavily to any people I work with, because most people come into it, and you know, nobody, when they're looking at a franchise, goes, oh, I want automotive, because they automatically think they have to work on cars.
Right.
But that's the furthest thing from the truth. We don't want them working on cars. We want them concentrating on their business in those three key areas I discussed. And a lot of people come in and say, well, I really don't know a lot. I've never done body work. I've never done this. It's too complicated. Well, that's why you franchise. Let the franchisor stand behind and give you the expertise and knowledge that you need. At Mako, we're very proud of the fact that we probably have one of the most comprehensive training programs for our new franchisees. Firstly, we have a 4-week training in our home office in King of Prussia, about 75% classroom, concentrating on those three key elements of the customer, the production, and the finance. About 25% out of classroom. With our new franchisees, we'll actually have them sand and tape and paint and mask and detail a car so that not so they can do it, just so they can understand the process. We'll take them out to centers and let them do estimates. We'll take them out with a trainer to go out and visit with a used car dealer, et cetera, so they understand that process. Once they graduate after the 4 weeks, we want to get them open 4 or 5 weeks later. We have a new center development team that is just outstanding. They come in about a week to 10 days ahead of time and help the franchisee interview, hire, and train the initial crew. They also will help them do all the initial estimates. They will probably be there for about anywhere from a 2 to 4 week stretch, and then back off, come back in maybe a few weeks later, depending on what their their areas of where they need additional work are. During that time, though, the trainer's boss, the supervisor, is talking to them literally every single day and up front multiple times a day. And the purpose is to keep them focused on key areas, to make sure that they are operating efficient, that they are certified, they're doing those late model seamless repairs perfectly, that they are making money, they're compliant, and also that their volume is taking off and starting to grow towards the chain averages. Their experience in new center development may last anywhere from 6 to 12 months before we graduate them out of there. So both of you are very familiar with franchising, and I'm sure you can appreciate that is a very, very intensive new center development training.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's probably one of the longest training periods I've heard of.
Yeah, it sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
The more,
yeah,
the better.
You know, and that's why we have such a very strong track record of success with our franchisees, and we also have a strong track record of ramp-up time with our franchisees. And I think a lot of it is training. Let's face it, you know, you don't listen to something one time and you learn it. Learning's repetition, and you've got to go over it and over and over and over it until it finally sinks in your sleep.
Oh, that's true. What's a typical day like for a Mako franchisee, Rick? I mean, it sounds like they're great hours. I mean, so it definitely provides a certain lifestyle for your franchisee. I think where they're home maybe at a decent hour.
Yep.
So what is a typical day like from like morning to the end of the day?
Well, there's no question. The mornings are the critical times in our business.
Mm-hmm.
The morning is when you're there ahead of time. Before you open at 8, the crew gets in a little bit before 8, you have your team meeting, and everything is basically set for the day. Here's the schedule of events, because you've got to make sure that as you're scheduling your crew, that you're not sending, you know, four Ford F-150 full paint jobs through one right after the other, because it's going to slow the production line, because they may take an hour and a half instead of an hour. You want to pulse things. So you're looking at your scheduling, you're making sure they have the materials, their spaces are ready to go. So when they come in, here's the team meeting, here's the schedule for the day, this is what we need to get out. Mornings are always the busiest, and then let them get going. Also, in the mornings are when a lot of people want to show up and drop their cars off. So you're dealing with the customer base at that time also. And the day will progress normally a few hours, make sure everybody's off and running. Our franchisee may elect at that time, well, let me go out and talk to some commercial fleet guys. I've got a couple car dealers I want to go talk to. I've got Chamber of Commerce meeting that I'd like to attend and kind of rub elbows. Basically come back and forth into the meeting. Be involved in the community, but also keep your eye on the production, because I tell people in this business, it's like the ocean. It's beautiful to watch. Don't turn your back on it. We lock the doors at 5. Some of our centers may stay open just to, you know, one night or two nights a week, just as a courtesy to people to come in that could make it during the week, but it's one person doing estimates. At 5, we're locked. We stress quality of life. We want our franchisees home eating dinner with their family.
Right.
You know, we want them to get ready and have a good night's rest, because the next day, guess what? You're pushing a bunch more cars through here because it's busy.
True.
You know, you've got vendors coming in, dropping off parts. You've got paint suppliers, etc. So it is very busy, and you also want to be able to manage not just the production flow, but manage the cost structures. We're open half a day on Saturday, but it's not a production day. It's that one, maybe two people just there to assist customers with estimates and deliveries, and that's 9 to 12 on Saturday. So it is good quality. You know, we want our people to go on vacations. We want our people to enjoy nights, holidays, and weekends, and be with their family. Enjoy that quality.
And now the first segment, Rick, we talked about just the opportunities that's been going on for a while now with franchisees leasing space. A lot of Mako owners lease their space. I imagine some own the real estate, but there's
right.
great deals going on, which I'm sure is great for their overhead.
Well, it really is. You know, what happens, Don, with that is about 10% of our franchisees will buy their real estate up front. The remainder will lease up front. But over 60%, close to 65% of our franchisees do, in fact, own their real estate. So what they'll do is come in with a lease purchase option. Or maybe at the end of the first 5 years, they realize, hey, this is a little small. My business has really grown. It's time for me to go down in the street and find something and build something from scratch or convert a space. You know, we also do conversions in terms of converting body shops, where we find the necessary size and whatever, and a and a person who owned an independent body shop, we're able to convert those spaces too. So we can either do that, we can convert buildings, or we can build from scratch. And we can do it either as a lease or as a purchase. And our real estate department, construction and equipment people, work with our franchisees every step of the way to make that happen.
And I was just going to talk about, this doesn't sound like a business, especially starting out where there's some absentee ownership to it. I guess like any small business, it's owner-operator. I guess once someone's established, it seems like the type of business, especially you have a manager helping out, where you could some absenteeism to it, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And any business, I don't care what kind of franchise. I've been around a number of years to see that, boy, if you don't get the business up and running up front, it takes so much longer to get it running.
Right.
And it's so important to spend that time, effort, and energy initially to really get this thing off and running. We almost sell our franchises in terms of a 15-year term, you know, which it is a 15-year term. But we tell our franchisees, I mean, you don't have to leave after 15 years, of course. But the first 5 years, just get this business in stone. Get this thing running like a top, running in your sleep. Second 5 years, pay every debt you have off, be it a business or personal debt. So after a 10-year period, you don't owe a dime to anybody. The third 5 years is develop your successor. And when I say your successor, it could be your son or daughter.
Right.
It could be your manager. It could be somebody you're going to sell it to and be the landlord. So that you can step back and, you know, smell the roses, so to speak, and start thinking of either other investments or maybe slowing up. And we've got so many franchisees, because they've been around for 25, 30, 35 years, that are in those shoes. And and we got a lot of very hands-on owner-operators that really enjoy it, and after 20, 30 years, they're still in there every day. So it could go either which way. We just want to make sure that they have the opportunity to take it in that direction where they can do exactly what you said, Don, and really step back and enjoy it.
That's great. The majority of our listeners, Vic, are aspiring entrepreneurs thinking about buying a franchise. What would you say to them as far as, you know, advice?
A couple points I would make. One, don't necessarily look at your hobby as the business you want, because the first thing you need to look at is what would this thing do in terms of producing income and taking care of my family. A lot of people fall in love with their hobby, and after they get into it, they realize there's no money in this.
True.
You know? So I tell people, make sure you understand the economics of this business. Make sure you understand your role in this business, because I've seen many businesses out there people get into, and they think, oh, this is great. You know, I walked into this place, it was always busy when I was there, and what I didn't realize, though, was I got to be here 90 hours a week.
Right.
And I never see my family. And I haven't taken a vacation. How many times have you heard that? Boy, I haven't taken a vacation in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we want to hear from our franchisees.
Right.
We want them going to our conventions. We want them going to these, you know, fantastic islands and things of that nature. Could just build a better franchise mentality. So make sure you understand those two key elements, what your day is going to be like, and make sure you understand the economics of the business. I also tell people, I personally think brand name is critical in driving business to your location.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very important. It's not totally necessary, depending on what your role is in the business, but in ours, brand name, keep in mind, we have no national competition. We are the only auto body and painting chain in the United States. So brand name, I think, is very, very important. And then, of course, the system and support. You really want to investigate the company themselves, talking to the franchisees, making sure that you visit with the parent company so you understand, are these the good guys? Are these the guys that are there to help? What are the franchisees saying? Are they the kind of people that, yeah, I'm willing to invest in these. I'm willing to spend quite a few years because I trust these guys and I think they're good at what they do and they stay ahead of the curve.
That's great advice. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. It's fantastic advice. We have about 30 seconds, Rick. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a Mako franchisee? Is there a website they can go to or a number they can call?
MakoFranchise.com.
Okay.
Go into there. There's the information we ask you to complete, and it goes right to the development manager's computer, and it'll be back with you within 24, 48 hours.
Fantastic. I want to thank you again, Rick. You've been an incredible guest, and Don and I would love to have you guys back. future.
Oh, absolutely. Don't forget about our sister company, Mining.
Not at all. In fact, we'll try to get them on the show as well.
Definitely.
That'll be fantastic. Thanks again, Rick. Have a great day.
Have a great weekend, Rick. Take care.
That was a great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, I mean, a great guy, real pro.
Yeah.
Been in franchising, about 36 years,
I think it was. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, all that experience. I mean, so he's really seen it all. You know, you can sense his passion for franchising. I mean, you may have noticed we couldn't even go to commercial because he was just saying so many great things, you know. I just wanted to get all of it, you know, in the short amount of time
that
we had.
Tony Martino, he learned from one of the best.
Yeah, legend
in
franchising.
Like
yeah.
he said, some of their brands, they all complement each other, some
mm-hmm.
very well-known national brands, so I'm sure
well,
we'll
yeah,
keep doing a great job.
Yeah, there's a synergy now, you know, with Driven Brands, you know what I mean? So that's,
yeah.
I mean, it's a great partnership. A lot of the things I liked about, you know, Mako and his franchise opportunities, they really do stress the quality of life, you know, and I mean, he spoke about things like, I mean, we haven't really spoke much about it in 3 years of doing the show. He's one of the few to do it, talk about like an exit strategy. You know, I mean, it really does show the concern for their franchisees, you know what I mean? Talking about planning for the future and how you're going to get out of this thing, you know, when the 15 years is up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they don't have the pressure to add franchisees.
No.
They can pick and choose and just make sure it's the right match, the right fit, who they're bringing into the system.
Yeah, it's some training program, isn't it? I mean, it's just pretty intense.
Yeah.
I mean, in the 3 years we've been doing the show, it's a strong program. And, you know, the whole technology thing with the webinars and things like that, I attend a lot of those webinars and, you know, for a lot of different things. But, I mean, they really are fantastic, right from your own home office, you know, and just really great. So, yeah, it was a fantastic guest. Love to have, you know, some of their, you know, sister brands on the show as well. You know,
right,
and,
definitely.
Talk to those guys. So, great job on segment one today, Don. Good articles. And for our listeners, thanks for listening. Go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, and gofranchise.com. And I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Great, Marty. Have a great day.
Good job. Thanks, everyone. Yeah.